welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you.
Indeed.
And I hope those of you in these United States of America have been enjoying your long weekend. We have certainly enjoyed it.
Yes.
One word I would use to describe it. We have burned the candles at both ends. We have drank far more than is reasonable over the past 4 days, or at least far more regularly.
Yeah.
And I think I need a vacation from my fucking vacation right now. I'm looking forward to going back to work.
Yeah.
Not often that happens.
Sounds about right.
But yes, indeed, this is Haunt Weekly. This is episode 188, an episode divisible by four. Therefore, ipso facto, it means it's time to do
the news,
and we will get right into that. But first things first, if you have not done so already, and you should have, you lazy sons of, you wonderful people over there listening to this podcast, check us out at our website, hauntandweekly.com. You can also find us at Haunt Weekly on Twitter and Haunt Weekly on Facebook. YouTube.com/hauntweekly will take you to our YouTube channel. All the previous episodes should be available for easy perusal. And of course, you can always find us at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever finer podcasts are distributed. They're not onto us yet.
Right.
Suckers. Who says Apple's the smartest company on the planet? They let us into iTunes. All right. Well, we do have a lot of news coming up for you. It is the doldrums of summer, but a lot surprisingly happening still. We got a triple update about Halloween Horror Nights.
Wow.
A triple update.
How is that not the whole show?
That should be the whole show. Well, we got to also talk about haunts getting liquor licenses.
And a bunch of other interesting stuff.
So, yeah, first thing is first, though. Time to do conference reminders. It is an even episode. That means I kick things off. And coming up later this month, July 27th in Mount Carroll, Illinois, at the Mount Carroll Bowling Center, it's the Haunter Horde Gathering. There is a tour of Raven's Grin Inn, as well as an auction for Scares That Care and Don't Be a Monster. Admission is just $5, and that gets you free pizza, dudes. It gets you into the auction. It gets you into for the pizza and all that stuff. And they also have a paid-for cash bar. You're going to want to hit that up, too. Not too much, though, because there's the tour of Raven's Grin Inn we mentioned. And that's a $15 add-on, but you want to do it.
Yeah.
$20 for the whole goddamn night. I mean, come on. Can't beat
it's
that.
It's worth that.
Yeah. Learn all the details and more at HaunterHorde.com, in case someone forgot how to spell horde.
Yeah.
If you did and you're listening to this podcast, 12. Question your life choices. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay, July 27th, it's New England Haunt Show in Stratford, Connecticut at Fright Haven. It features a tour of Fright Haven and other area haunts, since it's being held there. That's no surprise.
That's not...
Also has several classes.
Yeah, it's the conference. You walk into the conference. Well, this is Fright Haven. This is your tour of Fright Haven.
No,
I'm sure it's more than that.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Tickets are $25, so that's a great price. New England Haunts. Hauntshow.com.
I stutter every time I do
or
it too.
Or Haunts How.
Yes. NewEnglandHauntsHow.com is your site.
Yeah.
I don't think that's actually it, Crystal.
No.
That same weekend, because fuck my calendar.
And everyone else's.
Everyone else's too. It's the Texas Haunters Convention, July 27th through the 28th at the Mesquite Convention Center in Mesquite, Texas, featuring celebrity guests, a meet and greet, a costume ball, a stacked trade show floor. They're also touring Dark Hour Haunted House for their Dog Days of Summer tour and offering a backstage tour on the last night. TexasHauntersConvention.com for more details. Guys, if you're going to this one, check the schedule in advance. Determine when you want to go on those tours. There is a lot of after-hour stuff going on. You know, you're going to have to plan a schedule, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Choose wisely, my sons and daughters and non-binaries.
And everyone.
And everyone else.
All right. August 3rd through the 4th, it's Midsummer Scream in Long Beach, California. at the Long Beach Convention Center. It features dozens of on-site haunted attractions and experiences, Hall of Shadows, Dark Zone, as well as a Screaming Room Film Festival, a fashion show, and live theatrical performances. MidsummerScream.org for more info.
Or MidsummerScream.
God.
That one's worse.
That one is worse.
You're welcome, Internet. All right. After that, August 6th through the 8th at the Music City Center in Nashville, Tennessee, it's the Room Escape Conference and Tour. Tours include Extreme Escape Game, San Antonio Panic Room, Premier Escape Rooms, Extreme Escape, Perplexium, The Escape Game, Lockout Austin, and 15 Locks. RoomEscapeShow.com for more details. Once again, you're going to have to plan your scheduling here some. Choose wisely.
Okay, August 23rd through the 25th, it's CreepyCon Halloween and Horror Convention in Knoxville, Tennessee. It'll be at Jacobs Building. It features workshops, exhibitors, and a zombie beauty contest. CreepyConKnoxville.com.
All right, after that, September 6th through 8th in Indianapolis, Indiana, it's Mask Fest / Horror Hound Film Fest at the Indiana Convention Center, featuring all types of mask makers and mask artists, as well as great tutorials on all these related things. If you go, as we say every time, be careful you don't get sick. Maybe your vitamin C dose should be upped a little or something. I don't know. Do something. But check out MaskFest.com for more info.
Okay, September 28th through the 29th, it's Scary Dad.
Yes.
Haunted Halloween Show Part 2 in Houston, Texas.
Actually, no, it's Part 3. That was my fault.
Oh.
This is the third act, and now it's personal, is the tagline.
Oh, all right.
Because, you know, that's my fault, everyone. It's my fault. I own that one.
Crown Plaza Hotel Houston Gallery is where it'll be held. Tons of vendors. Limited vendor spots are still available, as last we checked, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are just $10. It's hosted by Scary Dad Podcast. NightmareRetreat.com for more info.
Yes, indeed. Well, that is a lot of great conferences coming up. Honestly, find what's coming near you and get your butt over there.
Yeah.
That's minus advice. But yes, as we said in the intro, we are kind of in the midst of the summer doldrums a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has slowed down, especially this particular week with the 4-day week, and everything kind of been...
Yeah.
I didn't do a whole hell of a lot of work this past week. I know Crystal didn't. there's nothing to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's stuff to do. It's just not...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not deadline imminent right this second. So, yeah, basically, it's too hot for haunting. There are other holidays that seem to be taking precedent. But yet, somehow, there's still a lot of new haunted attraction news coming our way. So, without any further ado, we'll jump right in. Do you want to kick off the first story, Crystal?
Okay, usually you
kick off. Oh, I'll kick off the first. I don't care. I'll do the first. All right, coming up first, and this article is by Lawrence Specker at al.com, alabama.com. The Mystic Mansion ride has opened up at OWA in Foley, Alabama. Now, we actually covered this in episode 172 when they announced it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
That was way, way back in February, whatever. One of those months. but basically, it is a new dark ride. It is done sort of in the style of Disney's Haunted Mansion, that people, you will ride a quote-unquote doom buggy and driven through the attraction as a family-friendly dark ride.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it is formally opened up as of last month and appears to be in full operation, so you can go check it out if you're in the area.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, we're close enough to Foley that it might even be feasible for us.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. But yeah, and it opens up at the same time, or roughly the same time as other attractions, including a new Paula Deen restaurant.
Yeah.
And a Legends and Concert stage and venue, concert venue that looks actually kind of cool. But yeah, this looks like a great indoor attraction for this park. Opening up a theme park in the deep south when, mm-hmm. you know, they're usually open in summer creates kind of a weather challenge.
It does, yeah.
As someone who spent a lot of time, wow, Jonathan.
You are tired.
Keep up. All right. Spent a lot of time at Carowinds theme park in Charlotte. Yeah, the heat gets oppressive at these parks, and indoor attractions like this are a huge boon for you when you can find them.
Yeah.
And they are definitely advertising the air-conditioned component of it
right.
in the marketing that I've seen. But it looks pretty cool. They only showed a few shots of it, not want to spoil it. The exterior looks great.
The exterior does look cool.
I really don't have a...
Classic purple and green theme.
Yeah, it looks... I mean, just picture a kid-friendly haunted house exterior
yeah.
and stop. You're pretty much done.
Exactly.
You really got it already. And that's what it is, and it looks awesome, and it looks like a lot of fun. I mean, like I said, it's family-friendly, so don't expect too much in the way of actual startles and scares. But, you know, after hearing, when we took, like, I think it was about 100 episodes ago now, we were talking about how dark rides are going extinct, mm-hmm. and there were people going around the world trying to record and preserve them.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing new dark rides open fairly regularly. This makes me happy. Makes me very happy.
Okay.
All right.
Our next story comes to us from Natalie Broda at Oakland Press. It's The Art of Escape Erebus is opening a new detective adventure. So, basically, they have several escape games,
yes.
but this is their latest one. It's called Body of Evidence. Customers will work as a team of investigators to solve mysteries of serial killer. We've played a couple of serial killer
yeah.
game-themed escape rooms. They're always a lot of fun to do. But the thing that this article does is it goes into detail about the process of beta testing and fine tuning a room.
And having done beta testing is yeah. on the customer side before.
Yeah.
It really is. Like the game we beta tested was one for 13th Gate. We won't go into too many details about our experience.
Right.
But I'm very glad we beta tested it.
Yeah.
Because they had some issues with it that were definitely game breakers.
Yeah.
And if someone like us hadn't been there,
right.
they could have gone on and really pissed off a lot of customers.
Yeah. Yeah, no one would have been able to
complete it. We did complete it. And the way, it's kind of weird, even though you have like an hour of real time to do it,
right.
you can get clues and extend your time.
Yeah.
And they'll just tack on the time. So you can actually win with a time well over an hour.
Right.
We won it, but with a time that was like an hour and 30-something minutes.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
It was, and it was, you know, it was beta testing.
It was beta testing, and one of the reasons we had was there was one puzzle which required us to get multiple clues because...
Right.
I think, honestly, it came down to my deaf ass couldn't hear.
Well, the volume levels were off.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Regardless, though, we did have a great time beta testing, and it was very interesting to see the process that they're talking about here from the other side.
Right. Yeah.
Now, the one thing about this that kind of makes me go, what, is, isn't Body of Evidence the name of a movie I accidentally watched like 12 times when I was 17 years old?
Yeah, I don't know, is it?
It sounds like one for certain.
Yeah.
But yeah, long story short, they're opening up this new murder mystery escape room. They've already got three, I think. This is their newest.
Yes.
And they did announce that they are opening new family-friendly rooms featuring fairies and fairy tales and stuff like that
yeah.
later this fall, which I think is a great market, by the way.
Yeah, I do too, because it introduces younger generations to your haunt.
Yeah, and to escape games in general.
Exactly. Build up those problem-solving skills early.
Yeah, I mean, even the escape rooms that aren't, like, not family-friendly, like, they have an Egyptian one, and we've been to Egyptian ones before, too.
Right.
They're not necessarily child-exciting.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, well, I think that the pirate one...
Yeah, the pirate one's
going to...
Mortuary. And the pirate one at 13th Gate, too.
Yeah.
Would both get kids excited.
Yeah, I'm not sure if what the age range is at 13th Gate, but I do know that the one at Mortuary is G-rated and kids are allowed.
Yeah, I agree.
I haven't had kids to look it up, so...
Yeah, the only escape room we did with children was the one we did with Ellie's extended family.
Yeah,
and the youngest one there was still like 12.
No, she's 8.
Oh, she was 8?
Yeah.
Smart little brat for 8, I mean...
Yeah.
All right. Kudos to you, little lady. Kudos to you. All right. But no, this is part of them really pushing and really expanding their escape room presence. And honestly, we're seeing a lot of haunts do this because this gets that year-round income. You know, because it's one of the frustrations of the haunted attraction industry is you pay rent and electricity and...
Mm-hmm.
upkeep and maintenance on a property 12 months a year, and you only get to make money off of it a month and a half to 2 months.
Right, exactly.
That's kind of frustrating. And so, yeah, we're seeing this pivot into doing more and more escape rooms and more year-round attractions as a way to make more money. I think it's a great idea. And honestly, I've heard such great things about Erebus. Mm-hmm. I would be dying to check out some of their escape games. Though I have to say, I was hopelessly confused when I pulled up an article by the Oakland Press about Erebus. And I went, is there another Erebus in Oakland, California that I didn't know about?
Yeah.
No, it turns out Erebus is in Oakland County.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But yeah, no, regardless, it definitely is an interesting thing, and I'm excited to see. This was a great article, and I definitely encourage you to check out the full thing. It's a really lengthy, deep dive into the beta testing process.
Yeah.
All right. This is one of the ones I've been really excited to talk about. Abandoned Haunted House, which is the Haunted House's name is Abandoned.
Right.
Let's start with that. That is confusing as hell for me reading right. this. Not being familiar with this particular attraction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why would an abandoned haunted house get a beer license? That's stupid. But anyways, yes, Abandoned Haunted House in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin has obtained a Class B liquor license. I know this article is by Ricardo Torres at the Journal Times. Long story short, the Class B license allows them to sell beer, but neither hard liquor nor wine. They can't sell anything but beer. The motion was passed 4-2 by the local town council. However, the fire department is expressing deep concern, saying it could cause problems inside the haunt. And it's kind of... I really found this an interesting peek into like how fire departments and fire marshals view haunted attractions in a weird
yeah.
way. Because it wasn't meant to be that.
Right.
But it kind of turned into that.
Yeah.
Because the fire department, and if you read the article, claims it's one entrance and one exit, basically, in this haunt. It's one way and one entrance in and one entrance out. And that could cause problems in the event of a fire or something. And then, of course, Abandoned Haunted House comes, steps up and goes, dudes,
yeah,
we have 9 emergency exits and 70 actors inside to usher people out. Plus, we have all this high-tech fire suppression systems and wiring.
Right.
I can't think of a building I would rather be in when it's on fire than on an attraction.
Yeah.
You know, everything's coated in the fire suppression material.
Yeah.
You know, there's no pressure-treated lumber or anything to create dangerous fumes.
Yeah.
You know there's an emergency exit every blah, blah, blah feet. You know, it's like very, very short. And you know there's 1,000 people to show you the way out.
Yeah.
Where are you going to be safer in the event of a fire? Everything is set up correctly.
Yes.
If the house lights come on and the fire plan works, you're literally in the best burning building you can be in. I'm not kidding, though. It's true.
No, I understand. It's just kind of funny to hear it said out loud.
But yes, there are concerns that mixing alcohol in a place with low lighting was the other concern. And yeah. this is hilarious to me because I actually wrote these show notes at a bar.
Yeah.
We went to go teach a bartender friend of ours, Princess Stephanie, how to knit and do some crafting stuff. So we spent the morning and part of the afternoon, early afternoon with her.
Yeah.
Hung out, and I'm typing these show notes in a corner, and I'm reading this, and I look up, and I'm in a bar drinking my drink in one of the darkest rooms I can fathom.
Yeah.
Like, this is Mags 940 in the Legion. Which, by the way, if you come for HauntCon, go.
Yeah.
Tell Princess Stephanie hi for us and tell her we're giving her lots of props and love on the podcast.
Yeah.
But it's, like, super duper dark. Like, I've never left that bar during the daytime and not had a headache from seeing the sun on the way out.
Yeah.
You know? That's yeah, how dark it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, if you go out in the day, put your sunglasses on before you exit.
Yeah, exactly. Bring sunglasses. Just trust me. You're going to want them. And that's because it's an old-school gay bar. Very few windows, very dark lighting. It was so the police couldn't see in. It goes back to a much older time.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, and Mags isn't technically considered a gay bar today. It's a neighborhood bar that's gay-friendly.
Right.
But still, it has very much that vibe and that appearance.
It does.
Because that's what it's been historically.
Hasn't really been updated
no.
for...
No.
For modern times.
And it never, ever will.
No. No, we know the owner won't.
We'll be dead and buried before that's updated, folks.
Yeah.
But yes, the haunt promised also that outside actors will bar admission to drunk patrons, tell them that their ticket is good any day, please come back when you're sober.
Yeah.
And honestly, looking at this article and looking at the people that were complaining, they have photos of them going down the side.
Yeah.
It looked like a bunch of stodgy old white dudes who don't understand fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And here's the thing that kind of tickled me, was when I first read this, I thought it was an abandoned haunted house.
Yeah.
But once I got past that, I thought it was in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, and I have spent a not insignificant amount of time there.
Right.
And I'm like, this makes sense. This sounds like this type of stupid bullcrap I would expect from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. To find out it's Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, kind of boggled the mind.
Apparently all Mount Pleasants are just not fun zones.
They're not pleasant.
Yes, exactly.
They're not pleasant. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I understand the concern here to a degree, but it's a haunted house serving beer. You know they're going to jack those beer prices clean through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
B, we don't serve alcohol at our haunt because we're home haunt.
Right.
We can't.
Right.
We still have a problem with drunk patrons.
Yes.
It's funny how people seem to be able to find alcohol off the premises of a haunted house and arrive at the haunted house drunk.
Yes.
So I can guarantee you if this haunt is of any size and scope, and I do mean any,
yeah,
they already have a policy for dealing with drunk and or high patrons.
Yes.
This also has come up.
Yes.
This has come up repeatedly. I'm very sure of that fact.
Yeah, exactly.
It's and like,
it might even help with their issues if people know that they can get beers there.
Yeah, you don't have to pregame before you go to the haunt.
Exactly.
And
just plan on buying them after you get through.
Yeah, buy them after you get through. And you can also track how much they're drinking.
Yeah.
Have your bartenders keep an eye. Well, that person had, you know, one or two, they're fine. But yeah, that person, holy crap, they're down the 12-pack, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because here in New Orleans, I know that the bartenders who work the bar by themselves,
yes,
have to go through manager training to know what an overserved patron looks like. And it'd be interesting to see if this haunt has to have that kind of standard.
That would, I'd imagine that'd be a state level thing.
Exactly.
And this seems to all be dealing with city stuff or town. Yeah. I don't think Mount Pleasant's a city. I don't know why it's called.
I don't
town
know.
Village.
Mount Pleasant. Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin.
Yes. Township. But yeah, I mean, on one hand, I understand some of the concerns, but on the other, in terms of fire safety, haunted attractions already have such high standards compared to other types of buildings. And how many people are there?
26,500.
All right, fuck me. I learned something today.
Yeah, I know.
All right, shut my mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
All right, you know what? I can be wrong. Yeah. I live with two women. I have to be learned to be wrong a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's crazy to me to think that somehow serving beer on site is going to exasperate the issues when the truth of the matter is we already know is it's already an issue they have to deal with.
Yeah. People who are going to drink at a haunted house are going to either get their drinks there or show up drunk.
I have literally watched people pull up, and this has been a problem at like Rise.
Yeah.
I've seen patrons pull up in like pickup trucks at Rise,
yeah,
get in the back, sit on the tailgate, drink beers from a cooler in the tailgate before going into the haunt.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I guess you could patrol the parking lot and prevent that, but it's not a top priority for them for a bunch of obvious reasons. And that, I've only seen it happen once or twice in all the years I've been going.
Right.
It's not like it's a hugely common thing.
Right.
I don't want to blow it out of proportion. It has happened, is all I'm saying. And I've seen it at other haunts, too. But Rise, the reason I mention it's because it's a rural location.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The people will sometimes go there to tailgate,
mm-hmm,
at the haunt, which...
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I know.
It's the most rural haunt we go to regularly, I believe.
Yeah, we go there every year.
And we go there every year, and I love it, and it's great, and everyone should go that can.
Yep.
Okay. But yeah, so, anyways, moving on.
Yeah, next story. Waterloo News brings us Evansdale Haunted House opens for a special summer haunt. Basically, this is a double feature.
Yeah.
It's a funeral home, Haven Funeral Home.
Yeah.
And Ravenhurst.
Yeah, we've talked about these guys before, this particular attraction. I think we met them, actually, at Hong Kong one year. I think we have.
Possibly. If we have and you're listening, let us know.
Let us know. Prove me right.
Yes, prove
me right. If we haven't met you, don't say anything.
Because you're not listening and don't know. Yeah, I don't think that's a good metric. Anyway, this ran for one weekend only, June 21st and 22nd. It was called Midsummer's Night Scream, and it was $20 a ticket, which sounds like it would have been a lot of fun to go to.
Yeah.
They had several actors on duty, and let's... Basically...
Yeah, well, one thing I did, they said in the article, the haunt owners did... That they seem to think a lot of haunts in the South are open year-round.
Yeah, and I don't know where they got that.
Wherever you got that information, just know.
Yeah, I know of one in...
There's one in Galveston.
Galveston, you know. And one in Arizona.
We've been to one in Austin that was year-round.
Well, I don't really count the Ripley's.
Okay, fair enough.
And I can't say
And it wasn't Austin, it was San Antonio anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that was those are the same city. We're about to get letters from some Texans.
Yeah. Well, no. I think it's because, yeah, those damn Texas haunters.
Nobody from Texas listens to this podcast.
No. I'm in their Facebook group.
Oh.
Anyway. So, no, I think the reason I don't consider that a year-round haunt is because it's an afterthought for the attraction.
Yeah.
Except in October.
Yeah.
I've heard it's a very different experience in October.
Yeah, Raven's Grin Inn is genuinely year-round.
Yeah.
That's way up north and near Chicago, up near a northern part of Illinois.
Right.
About to say it was near Chicago, and it's 3.5 hours away from Chicago, too.
It's about 3.5 hours away from anything.
That's very valid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, basically, no, there are not a lot of haunted attractions open year-round. There are some. We know about the one in Miami.
Yeah.
And there are some you'll find in the South, especially when you're on the coastal regions, that are what I call tourist ones,
mm-hmm.
which, okay, they're not open year-round, but they're open for tourist season, which doesn't necessarily overlap with haunt season. Well, we consider haunt season.
Right.
So they might be open right now, but they might be closing after Labor Day.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that they're doing here is that they're teasing some of their new rooms.
Mm-hmm.
For their October show, because they started rebuilding some of that in January. So that's a really cool idea.
Yeah. And they're hoping that this goes super well.
Mm-hmm.
Super
I
well.
I hope it did.
And we don't know if it did or not, but I'm hoping it did. And that they get to open for other weekends as the year goes on.
Right. Except in the winter. They said that they can't be open in winter because they're too far north.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, they'd still plan to open for the regular season come autumn, for the mm-hmm. September-October season, so all that's still going as planned. But no, I mean, the cough is back, by the way, I apologize.
Yeah.
I think I got myself too wound up today.
No.
Just too wound up. But anyway, yeah, I love this idea of opening up occasionally throughout the year to do special shows.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you have to do something special with it. There has to be a reason that people want to come out during those 2 days.
Right. Exactly. And this was preview the new rooms before
exactly.
anybody else.
And that's fair and valid. That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't want to see haunts opening up like a random weekend in June, a random weekend in July, or a random weekend in August or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then wondering why by come August, people aren't showing up for their special weekends.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because on their website, they don't have it, this new thing promoted.
Yeah.
Their calendar wasn't updated to promote it, so, and that's what was linked from the article.
Hmm.
So, yeah, if you're going to do something like this, make sure you blasted out there everywhere.
And we did not check their Facebook page and so forth yet, but I'm going to assume they probably put it out there.
Yeah, I would think so. Also, if you have a list of customers, you know, loyal customers who sign up for your email list.
Going back to what we talked about last week with the whole customer retention and getting their information and staying in contact with them, this is an opportunity there too.
Exactly. Send them an invite.
In fact, maybe give them a small discount.
Yeah.
Say thank you.
Exactly.
All right, let's jump into Universal Halloween Horror Nights news.
All right.
First off, the next original haunted house has been announced. It is the Yeti, Terror of the Yukon.
Yep.
The article is by Brian Glenn at Inside Universal. Long story short, this haunt will take customers to a remote logging camp in Canada where they must flee the Yeti. Sadly, not the Yeti from WCW Wrestling. That was actually a mummy, which wrestling's weird.
And not the Yeti from BattleBots.
No, not the Yeti from BattleBots either. No actual Yetis were harmed in the making of this haunt, I'm sure. Now, it's interesting because the Yeti was featured last year in...
You just can't say it without...
No, I can't. Too much WCW in my history. It's the Yeti! If you haven't seen the Yeti, Google Yeti WCW and just... watch the video.
Okay, I'm going to have to do this now.
It's beautiful. It is horrible. It is a train wreck beyond anything you're probably prepared for as I say that. Feel free to pause here and come back and then say, the Yeti with me next time. Thumbs up. But it was featured last year in the Attack of the Swamp Yeti. But apparently now the vacation is over. He's back in his natural habitat and all is good.
So I would expect it to be like a winter wonderland.
Yeah, and that is awesome. And like, there's the room in the 13th gate with the mammoth that does the winter wonderland thing.
Yeah.
And I know we've always been kind of divided on that room because you don't like the fact that it's only got a farting mammoth.
Yeah. Sometimes there's a caveman.
Now, sometimes there is an actor in there, but usually what you get is a farting mammoth.
Yeah.
And I think it's because you just have bad luck and are always the one to get farted on.
Yeah, problem.
You just have that luck. You're like my mom on water rides, where if you're like in the little raft, like four people, and like one person has to get trapped under the waterfall. It's always her. I think I always hypothesized it was because she was lighter than us, because she was so tiny that her end just kind of came up and rocked up again. She didn't like that theory. But yeah, so that sounds like a lot of fun, and like it's going to be another great addition to Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, it does.
And by the way, Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando will run from September 6th to November 12th. That distinction becomes very important in a minute.
Okay. That sounds interesting. All right. They have also announced scare zones at Halloween Horror Nights Hollywood 2019. They will be Toxic Evil and Fallen. And I'm looking at some of the images for it, and it looks pretty scary. There's going to be, you know, the statues that move that are all creepy and stuff. Demons from the Far East.
Yeah, which features like Chinese and Japanese sort of mythical creatures.
Right. Christmas in Hell.
That's...
which...
Self-explanatory.
Self-explanatory.
You don't need me to tell you what that's about.
That should be near Yeti.
Yes, the Yeti.
Yes, exactly. The Toxic Tunnel.
No, it's the TOXXX. And once again, that sounds like a movie I accidentally watched 12 times.
Yeah, what is up with that?
What's up with all the porn today?
That's a capitalized triple X in that title for the Toxic Tunnel.
But it looks like it's sort of a take on the Toxic Avenger type thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then All Hallows Evil. Not Eve, but
yeah,
Evil.
Yeah, I want to say it Eve too, but...
yeah, which is a Celtic type festival.
And that might be coming up later, yeah, again in this podcast,
exactly.
Too. A lot of touchstones here. Throwing a lot of touchstones at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it looks like a pretty good lineup. I would be... Personally, I'm kind of excited by Christmas in Hell.
Yeah, Christmas in Hell looks like fun, and so does...
Fallen Angels.
All Hallows Evil.
Oh, that and Fallen Angels, I think, are my favorites.
Yeah.
Spirits and Demons. I think it was more the artwork wasn't very convincing to me.
Yeah, the thing about Fallen Angels, though, is that we've seen that before.
True.
So I'm not as excited about that.
Yeah, it is awfully hard to scare New Orleanians with cemetery themes, isn't it?
I don't know. Now I want some of our statue friends to go out to the actual cemetery.
Oh, God. You are a horrible person.
Yes.
Yes, you are. Okay.
Yes. If you saw Jonathan's post about the light out at the bar at the bathroom, you know he's a horrible person, too. And
yeah,
that's why
basically, we were at
so
a bar
well.
Yesterday. The light was out, or was it Friday? I don't remember.
I don't know.
And the light was out. And this bathroom is totally freaking dark when the light's out.
Uh-huh.
Now, luckily, I know this restroom like the back of my hand because I've been at this bar enough. No way around it. But my first thought wasn't, oh, I should go tell the bartender or someone the bulb needs changing. I should totally hide in the stall and scare the crap out of it. Comes in.
Yes.
And there was a lot of people in the bar that night. It would have. Yeah. I would have gotten someone pretty quick. I'd have gotten a customer pretty quick.
Yeah.
Anyway, final bit of Halloween Horror Nights news is that they are doing a Fearsome Fan preview. Basically, if you're in the LA area, it's the day before opening. Now, we talked previously that it opens September 6th through November 2nd. In Orlando, in Los Angeles, it opened, in the California one, it opened September 13th. It opens a week later. So on September 12th, the day before, that's a Thursday, you can take this tour and go in one night early before the official opening.
And the official opening is on a Friday the 13th.
Yes. A big cliche.
Well, no. I mean, why would you go on September 12th if you could go on Friday the 13th?
First!
Yeah, I get that, but still.
First!
I think they should have made Friday the 13th the
preview.
Day before the preview, yeah.
Well, and that's the other thing I've been trying to figure out about this is how is the fan preview different other than it's supposed to have special guests and some celebrities pop in as well as DJs. Other than that, I don't know or understand what's different between it and a regular opening night.
Yeah, I don't know.
The article did not indicate what was different or changed. Mm-hmm. But hey, if you absolutely positively want to be one of the first to see that all these haunts and scare zones we've been talking about for the past few months, boom, here's a chance. Tickets are on sale now. They're pretty much the same price as the regular ones. Another reason I can't tell you the difference.
Right.
It's not like the tickets are triple the price or whatever. Nope, it's just regular price tickets.
Yeah, regular price tickets and supposed to have some extra stuff.
No.
I guess they're trying to decrease the amount of volume on official opening night.
Yeah, I guess so. I really don't know. And I ran across a headline on the Orlando one. I ended up not adding it in because we had so much HHN news. But they talk about how they are hiring 2,000 people at Orlando for HHN and other things at Universal Studios. So, yeah. It's going to be busy.
It is. Okay, next article is from Narcity and Zoe Acosta.
Zoe!
Yes.
Double E, Zoe.
Yes.
Double E.
Dallas will be hosting its very first massive Day of the Dead parade this fall. Basically, they have several different parades that take on different cultural aspects. This is the first one for Day of the Dead. They are expecting a huge turnout. It will be October 26th at 5 p.m. and aims to be the largest in Texas.
If not the entire U.S., they hope to get about 30,000 people.
Just over a mile long.
Yeah, and as a New Orleanian, I read, wait a minute, getting a new parade that draws 30,000 people is newsworthy? Oh, wait, not everywhere is New Orleans.
Yeah, well, and just, you know, 1.3 miles also.
Yeah, what's a standard Mardi Gras parade, 2.6 or something?
That's for the smaller ones, yeah.
Yeah, that's the minimum,
yeah,
basically.
That's the quarter ones.
Yeah, you get some long-ass parades in our city.
Yeah, I think the most I walked last season was 8.5 miles.
I'm just going to let that silence hang there.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. But yes, it will also end in a festival of Mexican food, culture, and music. They're planning a big shindig. And one of the things I find kind of odd about this is Day of the Dead parades were not really a thing until 2016. Basically, the James Bond movie Spectre featured one, and Mexico City said, hey, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
We're going to do this. Because, I mean, yes, Day of the Dead's a very important holiday.
Yeah.
But it's typically been, I wouldn't say somber, but serious. Mm-hmm. And a very personal holiday. You honor and respect your, you know, family and friends.
Right.
This idea of a happy parade. Now, to a New Orleanian, the idea of having a party parade for someone's death, that's just second nature.
Yeah.
What? Why would you do anything else?
Yeah, exactly.
The other alternative seemed crazier to me.
Yeah, but, it was actually 2015, according to...
But the first, first parade was 2016.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, Spectre came out in 2015. They held the first parade the next year.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, no. Sorry. Thank you for the clarification, though.
Okay.
You are not wrong. That is an excellent point to make. So, yeah, I find this growth in Day of the Dead parades to be pretty interesting, how quickly this has been taken on, not just in Mexico, but in the United States, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and it sounds like a lot of fun.
It does.
I would go.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, speaking of festivals...
Mm-hmm.
Ireland is preparing the Puka. I think that's how you say that. Puka?
Puka.
We'll do Puka. I don't know how to pronounce it. Festival will take place in Ireland's ancient East in October 31st through November 2nd. It celebrates the Celtic tradition of Samhain, which is what Halloween can basically be traced back to.
Yeah, exactly.
You get into the history of Halloween, it goes back to the pagan roots and the Celtic roots here. There's this where it all began.
Mm-hmm.
And Puka was chosen because it's a character from Celtic folklore that's associated with Samhain. The full program is due to be announced later this summer, but it looks from the images presented to be very, very spooky and very awesome.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, if I were in Ireland, I would definitely be checking this out.
You know, and even if you don't enjoy the thing, you're still in Ireland. You can enjoy Ireland.
Yeah, just enjoy Ireland, eh?
That's like coming to HauntCon. You're still in New Orleans, even if you don't like the con.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a perfectly valid point.
Yeah.
All right. We have one more story this week. And Crystal, light the candle.
All right, so this comes to us from Vice. A DIY artist transforms into haunted house icons in this hilarious series. This is one you have to click on the link.
Yeah, we can only do so much justice here. Yeah.
Yeah, because she dressed up and did self-portraits, basically, from different horror...
Haunted house tropes. Yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah, and they are very funny.
And one, she dresses up as a mummy, not the Yeti.
No.
As the mummy, not...
yes.
It was a slice in half person and an exorcism subject, I guess is what you would say.
Yeah.
And she's been doing these kind of bizarre self-portraits for a long time. She even horror-themed ones, too.
Yeah.
She did one where she was Pennywise, which they actually have a photo of in the link, and it is genuinely disconcerting.
Yeah.
In just about every way a photo can be disconcerting.
Yeah. I really like the coat rack.
Yeah, the coat rack was brilliant when she disguises the coat rack.
Yeah. Yeah.
But basically, yeah, she takes sort of the tropes of haunted attractions and makes herself into those characters and into those scare actors and does it with a comedy lean. It's hilarious, but also, I think, done with a lot of love.
Yeah, exactly.
You feel the love with this kind of work. I did enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a lot of fun rolling through these. And they give a link to her site where you can check the rest out, too, and definitely do that.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, it's a great collection and a great way to keep that haunted house spirit alive during the doldrums of summer.
Yeah.
As we just discussed, we're in the doldrums.
We are.
So is the Yeti.
Yeah.
I hope at least someone out there got that joke, okay?
If you did, let us know.
And please let us know at hauntandweekly.com, hauntandweekly on Twitter, and hauntandweekly on Facebook. Any of those places will do just fine. Or you can let the Yeti. No, I don't know where you would contact him.
No.
But we are also youtube.com/hauntweekly. That is our YouTube channel. And, of course, you can always find us at Google, iTunes, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever, you know, you get your podcasts. It's fine by me.
Also, in tie-in to the photography series, mm-hmm. if that isn't your cup of tea, if horror and comedy isn't your cup of tea, check out Creepy Captures, Creative Makeup and Photography.
Yeah.
By, and Kearns, I just lost her name. Damn it. I hate that.
She'll never get her name back.
I know.
You lost it for her.
I know, right? But anyway, check that out. Most of it's on her Instagram, and it's Jessica Lynn, sorry. Creepy Captures, she does amazing makeup and work, but it's more serious. It's not funny.
Yeah, it's very cool stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, all in all, busy news cycle, lots going on. Had a lot to talk about this week. I'm happy about that. But we've got to keep on rolling. We got another podcast lined up next week. Hope to have a special guest for you if it all works out. If scheduling works out, we hope to have a special guest next week. Someone we've talked about on the show multiple times.
Yeah.
And usually in glowing terms.
Usually.
Usually. Yeah. Other than, you know, like every letter of the alphabet's in his name, I think.
Anyway,
but we hope to have a special guest next week, and then lots more stuff coming after that, because we're on the road to 200 now.
Yeah.
We're at 188. We're less than 3 months away from hitting 200. How scary is that?
Yeah.
How insane is that?
Are we going to do anything special for that?
What do you think we should do special for the 200th episode? Let us know at On Weekly on Twitter. And we need to be planning this shit now.
Yeah, I know, right?
So let us know at all those usual places I mentioned earlier. Please tell us. And tell the Yeti. Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly episode 188, doing June-July news. We will see you guys next time. The Yeti.